Hello and welcome to Campus Police Socialize. This is a radio show for the Campus Police where we share valuable information to the campus community. Just stand by one moment. Just have a little bit of technical difficulty. Okay. Hold on. Stand by.
Hi, I'm Adam. I'm the Dakin House Director. I'll be joining the show today, for a while anyway.
Bob Crowley, IT Director.
Adam Stoffolano, One Cards. Pleasure to be welcome back to the show.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kinney from Housing Operations. Thanks, Earl, for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Today's show, we're going to have each one of these individuals speak about the different services that they have within their department. So there's going to be a lot of information for you. If anyone had any questions in regards to IT or the Housing Operation Department or One Card, we're going to have someone here to share that information with you. So hopefully you're tuning in to the show today. Today is December 14th, 2011, and the time is about 1:03 p.m. Okay, first up that's going to be speaking with you is going to be One Card Office, Adam Stoffolano.
Hey, Earl. Thank you very much for welcoming me back. We wanted to just review a couple things so people could be familiar with our services and where to find us, and then we will start talking about what's new for 2011, some of the changes that we've made, and how we're enhancing the student experience on campus through One Card. The first thing we'd like to do is let everybody know where we are and when you can come and use our services and how to contact us. The One Card office is located on the ground floor of the library, and we use the rear entrance, which is at the top of the loading dock that folks also use to enter for campus police parking or sometimes to make their way to the mailroom. One Card office hours are kind of, they're round. There's a little bit of flexibility. We try to have someone staffing the office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. And we have some flexibility in the afternoon. We break from 12 to 1 for lunch. And from 2 until 4 o'clock, we're open by appointment. If our door's closed, if you can't find us, or if you have an immediate need, we would recommend sending an email to onecard@hampshire.edu. That email lands in several people's inboxes, and somebody would be able to get back to you ASAP to either set up an appointment or help resolve any of the issues that you have. Now that you know where we are and when you can get us, we'd like to talk a little bit about the One Card, the actual physical card, and remind people that your One Card is not only your visual identification card on campus, but it's your electronic gateway to many resources, and it's very important that you have a current One Card with you at all times. Again, not only for visual recognition, for validation of who you are, but it authenticates you at several points on campus. One point is at the dining services. It's imperative that you have your One Card if you'd like to go in and eat so we know who you are and we can make sure that those charges properly go to your account. Two other very important places to use your One Card are the school store for charging miscellaneous things. The second place would be the post office. It is a requirement that you show a Hampshire ID or other valid picture ID to pick up packages. So we have found that around break time, students who may have become disassociated with their One Card, who may have lost it, etc., make appointments to see us as they need to pick up critical items on campus. So again, it's very important that you have a current One Card and that you carry it at all times. Well, what's new for 2011? Some of the things we're seeing on campus that are different are One Card in Prescott. Over the summer, the Buildings and Grounds Department, in conjunction with the One Card office, have installed One Card readers at several locations in Prescott, specifically 72 through 76 and 105 front door. That includes the 73 fire escape, 75 fire escape, and 105 fire escape. Those doors are available for students who live in those areas. They're not available for the entire campus to pass through. We've also secured 77 through 80 and 103 front door. That also includes 78, Fire Escape, 89 Fire Escape, and 103 Fire Escape. We'd like you to take a look at your card if you're listening. You can look at the front. We'll go over it real quick and take a look at the layout and the things that help us identify you. On the front of your card, you have your picture, your last name, your first name. Oftentimes, students do not know what their P.O. box number is. Your P.O. box number is listed on the front of your one card. Also, your ID number and an issued date. If the one card office contacts you and asks you when your card was made, we would hope you would look in the bottom right-hand corner and reply with the issued date. That helps us keep everybody's IDs current and your access flowing smooth. If you flip your card over on the back, you will see a large mag stripe on the top that holds your dining plan information. If you do get a new card, you will need to have that re-encoded by the Dining Commons before you eat or before you charge at the Bridge Cafe. Again, we recommend taking your new card directly to Saga and asking them to encode it for you. It's free, it's quick, and it will be very, very helpful for you. The second piece on the back of the card that is equally important is the 5 College Library barcode that allows you library resources amongst the 5 colleges. Another interesting piece that we've implemented over the summer has been new cards for all students entering fall 2011. The new cards this year are a little greener, they are a little more durable, they really help us with wear and tear on campus, and they've cut down drastically on having to recard for cracking, bending, or other issues. We have a card this year that is made out of PET polyester with a core that is surrounded by PVC on the outside. And we've chosen this composite card to solve several problems. It works much better in our New England environment with varying temperatures. It has greater durability and longer life in cracking, tearing, and bending. And the new construction also helps protect your RFID chip and the antenna that is embedded inside your card. As far as the other components to producing your card, we have new greener printer supplies with biodegradable inner cores, so we're not filling up landfills once we produce many, many cards. But we now have a thicker outer laminate that provides more protection to everybody's card for less scratches, dents, and dings. Some other things to think about would be what to do in certain circumstances. What if your one card no longer works at exterior doors? What if it doesn't work at the Dining Commons or at the Bridge? If your one card no longer works to open an exterior door of the residence that you live in, we recommend that you contact the one card office either with a drop-in or you can send us an email. And we'll look into it, see if we can troubleshoot your issue. If not, we would recommend that you come in for a new ID, free of charge, if we're unable to diagnose the problem. If your card doesn't work at the Dining Commons, or if you go to the Bridge Cafe and they say you have no dining dollars on your card, we remind you that your card needs to be reactivated by Saga before it will be read in any of the Dining Commons readers. That's a very common issue. We're also interested to see what students think and get some feedback from the One Card community. So we're always open, again, to drop in or to send email to onecard@hampshire.edu. We'll take all your information. Maybe it's a certain area of campus that you would like to see One Carded. It may be an issue with free-flowing access between dorms that we could talk about. But again, please send us any thoughts or information you have, and we will definitely incorporate it into our daily working structure. I'll be handing the mic over soon, and I'll be back in a few to sum up everything for you.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate that information. That's a lot of good information that goes out to the community if you had any questions. And also, you can contact Adam at any time to get more information. And his office is located at the rear of the library office, right next to the campus police parking office. Next, we're going to have Bob Crowley joining us, and he's going to give you some information from the IT department.
Thanks, Earl. My name is Bob Crowley. I'm the director of information technology here at Hampshire College. And we're a fairly large department here on campus, comprised of 19 individuals. We take care of everything from web services to email to file storage for the community. We're fairly broadly divided into administrative functionality. So paychecks flow out from our ERTP system. We handle budgets. We handle financial aid and that kind of thing on the back end, on the data side of the house. We also handle academic functionality. So we're the people who run the computer labs up on the third floor. We handle all the most of the classroom spaces on campus. Like I said, we do web, we do email. And a new feature that we've rolled out just this year is a new department called Teaching for Technology and Learning. And we're really starting to focus on how people actually learn and how people use technology to learn in a higher education environment. And I think we're going to have several exciting initiatives come out of that particular department. We're also partnering with the Creativity Center to look at creativity and various initiatives on campus. One thing that we like to talk about quite frequently in IT is network security, data security, and security of personal information. Quite frequently, at least I receive a lot of emails, and I'm sure you all do too, referencing the fact that, oh my God, my account is overdue, my mailbox is full. Click here, give us your username and password, and we'll fix everything for you. I would tell you that 99.999% of the times, those are fake. We do not request password, username, or password information from individuals. We will never ask you for your password. Even if you call our help desk and ask for assistance, we will never, ever ask you for your password. So kindly disregard those emails. They're called phishing schemes. We tend to see a lot of them this time of year. People are phishing around for personal information, Social Security, credit card information. So be aware of that. Several years ago, we had a pretty good outreach campaign around phishing, and I think the user base has been educated, and I think most of us are disregarding phishing. But if you want some entertainment, go on our IT YouTube channel. It's ityoutubehampshire.edu, and we have a pretty entertaining phishing video there where Sharky, our department mascot, talks about data security and personal information security. While we're talking about security and data security, I frequently walk through the library because my office is located there, and I do notice a lot of times that people leave their laptops and their cell phones unattended on tables. We do have a problem with theft on campus of laptops, and I think it's something that happens in the Five College community. You know, basically, if you leave that laptop sitting on the table, chances are somebody's going to walk off with it, and it's not a very intelligent thing to do. So I would caution you to keep, you know, an eye on your laptop at all times, and probably also caution you to back up the data that's on that particular machine, because if you lose that laptop and you have your Division II or III work on that machine, you're pretty much out of luck. It's very difficult to recover stolen laptops and that type of item. You can go to public safety, and I know they offer a service, an engraving service that I think is fantastic, where you would engrave some type of identifying information on that laptop, and that, you know, helps to deter thefts as well. So take advantage of that. I don't, Earl, when are you guys going to offer that again? Do you offer that periodically?
Yeah, pretty much when the students come back in February, we'll probably do about two of them.
Okay. Yeah, so you'll be probably in the library at the Great Magic Board there?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's a great service, you know, and it's not just your electronic devices either. They'll just, you know, they'll engrave just about anything. So take advantage of that. The other thing that we do, I know students are all always interested in, you know, various projects that we're doing. We're currently, as I speak, changing internet service providers. We currently have about 150 megabit of upstream connectivity to UMass Amherst. We're changing to a provider called Paytech. Paytech's been our voice provider for a number of years, and we had subscribed to about 15 megabits of upstream connectivity through Paytech for strictly wireless access. So when you were on campus and you connected to the HAMP guest wireless network, which is really a public network meant for you know, guests coming off the street, you were flowing out through a pipe to Paytech. And the rest of our traffic went to UMass Amherst, our original ISP. We're going to continue to use UMass Amherst as a provider for our servers, our email, a lot of our administrative functionality. But we've gone to Paytech as a second provider for what we call commodity internet, because the price point from Paytech has come way down. So we're happy to announce that we're going to roll up 200 megabits of service on the Paytech link and continue to offer about 45 megabits of service on the UMass link. So we're kind of trying to keep pace with the demand. We see demand for internet connectivity bandwidth double about every 2 to 3 years. So it's a constant race. I think you'll see a better quality of service as we roll forward. Like I said, that should be in place certainly by February 1st when everybody comes back. So that's one of the things we're doing. We also roll out a survey once a year to students, faculty, and staff. And we're particularly interested in the results that we get back from the student survey. We should be launching that survey again around the February timeframe. And what we do with the information that we get back from that survey is form our plan of work for the next year. So we look at the issues, the top issues, the concerns that students have, and try to tackle those problems. The number one issue that was addressed last year in the student survey was lack of wireless coverage in the dorms, particularly in Dakin and Merrill. And I'm happy to report that this year, this summer, we did some work with the electricians and our network engineer, coupled with a number of other people. We were able to install new wireless access points in Dakin and Merrill. There are 802.11n, and we think we have pretty good coverage going on in those areas. But if you find that's not the case, certainly contact us either through the help desk or you can email me directly, bcrowley@hampshire.edu, and let us know if you're experiencing any dead spots as far as wireless coverage goes over in Dakin and Merrill. We've also rolled wireless coverage into Greenwich and Enfield, and we're working to enhance that coverage in Greenwich and Enfield. We're starting to make inroads into Prescott, and what we're doing is following the remodel that's happening in Prescott. So you may see some areas of Prescott that don't yet have coverage, but we hope to address that problem soon. The second thing, the second item that was brought to our attention on the student survey was printing in the library, in particular, the pay-for-print system. I'm happy to report that we're looking at a couple of different models. We're looking at replacing the existing system with a system that may be easier to use, but we're also going to try an experiment for January, and I hope that if the experiment is successful, that we'll roll it out to the entire community, the areas that you print from. We're going to try free printing up in the library third floor computer lab. We think that the existing system is obviously cumbersome. It's problematic. It crashes a lot. So we're not really sure if it's worth the heavy lifting that it takes to maintain that system. That system was basically put in place to try to curb excessive printing. We saw a lot of people print jobs, fairly large jobs, and then just walk away from the printer and leave it there, and we'd have reams of paper that were left over at the end of the day that no one claimed. So we're going to try this experiment. We're hoping that everyone is conscious of what they print and try to dial down the amount of stuff that they print. Really think about it, the reason why you're printing that particular paper. We're going to do a little educational outreach as well. The multifunction device that we're going to have up in the third floor lab is capable of scanning the PDF. So if you had a book or a paper that you wanted to replicate, you don't necessarily have to copy it and then print it. You can scan that particular page, copy it to PDF, and email it to yourself. So no paper involved. So we're going to roll that out and see how that goes for January. And if it's a successful experiment, we'll bring it on down to the first floor of the library and eliminate the whole pay-for-print system. So I think those are two pretty exciting initiatives that we have going on the short term. But speaking of the student survey, we'll roll that out again once again in February. We had a great participation rate last year. We're hoping that you take time and fill out that survey because we do listen to your concerns, and we love to use that information to solve the problems that you're seeing here on campus.
That's great. That's great. That's a lot of information, Bob. A lot of information. Now, Bob, where are you located? If they need to get in touch with you, how can a student reach you?
I'm located on the first floor of the library. If you go in past the printers into the main office of the library, my office is on the left. But there's a Jane Lowe, the Department Administrative Assistant, sits right there, and she can direct you to my office. You can also, like I said, email me directly, bcrowley at hampshire.edu. And you can also contact our help desk at any time if you have any issues, whether it's hardware, software, or just general concerns about IT on Hampshire campus.
Okay, that's great. That's a lot of good information. I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there that can really use that information and contact you if they have any questions. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Earl.
Next, we're going to have Sarah Kinney is going to be joining us, and she's going to be sharing a lot of information as well. Again, this is Campus Police Social Hour talk radio program that we put on. Pretty much we do this show about once a month, and it's to communicate a lot of valuable information that we knew a lot of the members of the community can use. And it also brings the community together to share different resources that we have. So next I'm going to turn it over to Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Earl. Thanks for having me. I'm Sarah Kinney, and I work in the Housing Operations Office, which is a part of the Residential Life Department here on Hampshire College. And we do a lot of things, and we're trying very hard to get the word out about what it is you need to know about your housing and about your student life experience here on campus. So one of the things that we've recently done is we've started a Hampshire College Residential Life and Housing Facebook page. So please, right now, open your computer and like our page. So what we do in housing, what exactly do we do? The upshot is that we pay very close attention and care very much about your living conditions. And it covers pretty much three things: housing people, keys and contracts, and fire, health, and safety. So first thing is housing people, and that incorporates assigning rooms, making room changes when they're necessary. People generally are asked that is their room, with the first room they get when they arrive on campus, that's their room for the year. But for whatever reasons, people may want to move, and this is something we actually discourage. The first step for that is always to check with your house director and to get approval for moving. So please don't assume that you can just change rooms at any time of the year. It's something that we actually would like you to not do, so that you can make it work wherever you are. So, and then we do oversight of opening check-ins and key distribution, and then we collect points, we organize and hold a lottery each year. And many of you know that that's a big deal for those who want to figure out where they're living the following year. We do that every April. And this year may be a little different. We're actually working on doing some technological changes so that that may go online. And there will be more information about that to come. And let's see, we help students who want to create identity-based or structurally unique housing. Currently, we have several identity-based mods, including people of color, a queer mod, and Latina, and women's empowerment mods. We have also, GEO oversees the International Scholar mod, which we've come to call the monk mod, since Sue Darlington has facilitated the hosting of a few Tibetan monks the last couple of years. We have structurally unique housing, including the greenhouse mod, the allergen reduced, and the kosher mods. And a big part of what we do is also keys and contracts. We issue an inventory and replace keys. And if you lose a key or you're locked out, it would be during the office hours you would contact our office, and we would either be able to give you a backup key or come and let you in if you've locked your key in your room. We work closely with campus police, who do that on the off hours and let us know through the forms. They bring us their lockout forms if they've done a number of lockouts as well. The first couple of lockouts are free, and then we charge $10 for each additional to try and discourage people from just leaving their keys wherever or leaving their doors unlocked. Either way, we want to cover that. So, and yes, I've just been told by Adam, I should tell you our hours. Our hours are 8:30 to 4:30. And we are over in the, our address is MH for Merrill House. We are in the Merrill House Administrative Building. Most of you probably know where we are, but come see us anytime about anything. But these are the things we cover. Under keys and contracts, we also cover, we actually, our contracts are now online. That's a new thing this year, and we're kind of excited about it because it's been working out pretty well so far. We ask that you fill out your own room contract online when you arrive in a new room. And the big thing about that is that because this is a new thing, I think students aren't that used to it, but what we want to make sure of is that you are taking a really good look at your room. You're not just assuming everything's fine and checking all of those boxes on your room contract form online. We want to make sure that you really take a good look at your room and note anything that, that may either be a charge for you at the end of the year or be unsafe. The main thing is that you be safe in the room. So if there's any problem with your heater, for instance, if the cover is off your heater, you want to really make sure that that is mentioned and that there's a work order that goes in. And that's another thing. We want to make sure that work orders are processed correctly. So when you process a work order, and you should if anything's wrong with your room or your common area, we look at it, and we have someone in our office who looks at it, the work orders every day and makes sure that they go to the correct person in Facilities and Grounds. And we liaison with Facilities and Grounds to make sure things get done, and you should contact us if you've put in a work order and something hasn't gotten done. We also do contracts for common areas where we basically list everything that you might be billed for at the end of the year, and we make a note of it so that we know that it was that way when you got there, and if you have a problem with something that's not on your common area contract, you should contact us and make sure it gets noted on that. Because at the end of the year, what we'll do is we'll go in, and after you've all moved out and everybody's cleaned their space, we make sure that any damage is assessed and any work orders are put in, and we don't want you to be billed for any of the things that you are not responsible for. So then we do walkthroughs. We do walkthroughs with house directors and housing operations assistants team up to do walkthroughs in the residences, and we are looking at mostly common space at that point. And when we find something that's either a problem or that needs to be repaired, we will usually put in a work order for the repairs. But if there's another problem, if there's evidence of smoking, if there's graffiti, if there's some sort of violation, we will contact you by via email and ask that that be corrected. If there's a screen out, for instance, we'll ask you to put it back before we will call Facilities and Grounds and put in a work order so that we can make sure that you have the opportunity to put that back. And we ask that screens always remain in windows. So we're providing temporary one cards when they're lost. Adam talked about the one cards earlier. And one of the things that we want you to know is that when Adam's not around or for whatever reason you can't get a replacement card right away, if you lose your one card, you can come to the Housing Operations Office and you can borrow a temporary one card to use both as your access for your residents. And I think Roberta's starting to catch on that, you know, they, people should be able to use those down at the dining common as well. So we're also doing lockouts. I mentioned lockouts, and we just wanted to make sure that you understood that you can call us and during the day from 8:30 to 4:30, and you can and dial campus police. Any other? Well, actually, you can dial campus police, and they'll connect to us. So that's all we do. But the bulk of what I do, everybody has a bit of a different job in our office, and the bulk of what I do in our office is fire, health, and safety, education, and outreach. And I work very closely with house directors, particularly Adam Ortiz, who unfortunately had to go, but we are doing a lot of education and outreach around fire, health, and safety and other issues, and we've been producing videos, and we've been trying to work on some programming that might help folks to really get in a short amount of time what's not only expected of them, but what's dangerous and what's not. We are trying to respond to the number of fire alarms that go on each semester on our campus. The primary reason for fire alarms seems to be cooking. And we're really trying to look at that, and we've produced some videos, a little short, two-minute things. So go to our website and go to our Facebook page, and we'll also be emailing those out. If you have a fire alarm due to cooking, I send out an email to folks with some cooking tips as well as safety tips. And what we try to do is provide a video link so that you can go, and we have Carl Sparks in the kitchen who will explain some various things to you about turning on the fan and other safety tips that really will hopefully make it possible for us to have the Amherst Fire Department visit us as rarely as they can. But one of the other things we do is we conduct fire health and safety inspections every semester, and we go into every common area and we assess the safety of your area. We try to provide you with as much education around that as possible. And if you're there, it makes it a lot easier, but if you're not, we leave a form. And then those who are doing fine and they pass inspection the first time around are entered into a raffle, Safe, Sound, and Fabulous raffle. And each of the five residences has a winner of that raffle and are given a Trader Joe's gift bag each semester. The folks who do not pass the first round of inspection are re-inspected the following week, and then we have a workshop for those who don't pass the second time around for educational information. So then, fire alarms. And this is the other thing. We also conduct the fire drills every year, and it's very important to note that when fire drills occur, we have a variety of information that goes out every semester to tell you what is expected of you during a fire drill, where you're supposed to go. It provides you with the vital information that you're going to need when you hear a fire alarm go off, where you need to exit the building as quickly as possible. And one of the reasons that we conduct these fire drills is that we want to time you. I work very closely with the Assistant Director of Environmental Health and Safety, Laurie Smith, on these, as well as other training for interns and that sort of thing. But one of the things that it's very important to know, and when you are outside for a fire alarm, you cannot re-enter the building. The one card sliders are all shut off, and you cannot re-enter your building. And this is something, not only can you not re-enter your building, but you really shouldn't be standing anywhere near your building. And that's something we often encounter, is that folks are just sort of hanging around their door waiting to get back in. You really do need to go to your gathering place, which is designated, it's a different place for each residence. And it is on your door when you move in, so you should know where to go. So we also perform walkthroughs. We go to each residence. Again, we look for fire health and safety violations. We look for problems in emails, put in work orders. And we respond to reports of fire alarms given to us by campus police. If there's a fire alarm, there's always a report. And I get that, and I send out emails for that as well. And we try to follow up if there was a disciplinary issue, if the fire alarm was caused by negligence or something else. Your house director will actually contact you. And that is something that we are now trying to be very careful to make sure that everybody is aware of how much any kind of fire health and safety negligence that exists in your room or in your mod affects everyone in the building. So we take it pretty seriously. The fire health and safety videos, posters, emails, videos, I know that we try to make them as entertaining as possible, but it's really important to remember that it's that you need to see them, you need to pay attention and really know what's going on. It's not, it's not just you. And this is part of our very big goal for housing operations and for Res Life, is to make sure everybody understands that the community they live in is their responsibility. You are part of a community. You are not just a guest. This is your residence. This is your community. And you're all responsible for each other. And, you know, we're doing our best to try and make sure that you are safe and that you get you're living in a place where you get along with the people you live with and are treating each other with respect. And that's really where we're at in Res Life. And, you know, we work very closely with campus police. We work very closely with facilities and grounds and with health services. And we want to make your residential life experiences positive and exciting. I really firmly believe that the education you get outside of the classroom is every bit as important as the one you get in.
That's true. That's true, Sarah. And basically all of these departments working together along with campus police, we can't do this stuff alone. It takes all of us working in unity to keep the campus safe. That's why this information is very important. Now, basically, you know, this has been a real good show. A lot of information has been put out. You know, it's been great to have Sarah, Bob, and Adam join the show today. Now, does anyone else want to chime in? Adam, you want to add something to the show?
Yeah, if I could, I would just like to speak about replacement cards. I appreciate Sarah reminding folks that Housing is holding temporary cards this year, which is a fabulous, fabulous help. As far as replacement cards go, if you lose your ID, if you're traveling and you don't have it coming back to campus, all you'll need to do is email onecard@hampshire.edu and let us know you've lost your ID. We'll happily make you a new one. We'll respond to your original email address, letting you know that we received your request and a date and time to pick up your replacement ID from your campus post office box. We found that this delivery method works really well because students can send us an email at any time during the day or night. We pick those emails up 24 hours a day. We turn them around within a day, and we find it's incredibly convenient for students just to show up at their post office box, pick up their new ID, head over to Saga to get it re-encoded to put their meal plan data on it, and you're up and running again. So if you do ever need a new ID and the office is not open for any reason, please feel free to email us. It's a very good way to get us, and we will happily accommodate your request.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, everyone out there, we're just going to take a break for a moment. Okay? There's been a lot of information. I'm going to put a little music on for you, and then we'll be back.
And we'll all float on anyway. Well, I think you're making too hear him talk. Cold story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, lost the soul to whom it's so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless? Could you be so cold as the wind of wind when it breathes you? Just remember that you were talking to me though. Need to watch the way you're talking to me, yo. Mean after all the things that we've been through. Mean after all the things we got into. Y'all know some things that you ain't told me. Y'all did some things, but that's the old me. Now you wanna get me back and you gon' show me. So you walk around like you don't know me. Got a new friend, I got homies in the end. Still so lonely in the night. Hear him talk, cold story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, lost the soul to whom it's so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless? Bringing out a side of me that I don't know. I decided we weren't gonna speak, so I was up 3 a.m. on the phone. Why does she be so mad at me for? Homie, I don't know, she's hot and cold. I won't stop, won't mess with my groove up, cause I already know how this thing go. You run and tell your friends that you're leaving me. They say that they don't see what you see in me. You wait a couple months, then you gon' see. Never find nobody better than me in the night. Hear him talk, cold story ever told. Somewhere far down this road, lost the soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless? Talk, baby, let's just knock it off. They don't know what we've been through. They don't know about me and you. So I got something new to see. You just gon' keep hating me. We just gon' be enemies. I know you can't believe I could just leave it wrong. And you can't make it right. So I'ma take off tonight into the night. Hear him talk, oldest story ever told. Somewhere far along this road, lost his soul to a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless?
Test. We are.
Okay, welcome back to Campus Police Social Hour. We're going to have Bob Crowley. He wants to share a few things with you. Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks, Earl. I just want to talk briefly about phones, hall phones in the dorms. In particular, in Dakin, we had an incident where somebody went through and basically wiped out 20 phones, almost every single hall phone in Dakin. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, the phone wasn't working, so maybe they got frustrated with the phone and took it out on the phone. This was, they ripped the phones off the wall, ripped the mounting boards off the wall, and then proceeded to trash everything someplace. We put hall phones in the halls for health and safety reasons. I know that cell coverage can be spotty in some of the dorms, and we used to have room phones. We still do have the capability to plug in a phone in your room, but most students nowadays use cell phones, and people just do not plug phones into their voice jack in the room. So we also have hall phones out there for you to utilize if you have to call 911 and there's an emergency, and that's really the reason that we have them out there. The second reason for the hall phone, as opposed to, you know, you're going to say, well, I'll just use my room phone. I plug in a room phone. I'll use my room phone. Well, we have two different PBXs on campus, and those are public exchange branches. And what they do is when you dial a number, it's kind of like a router on the Internet. It routes the phone call out. So we have one that services the student side of the house, and there's about 1,300 phone numbers associated with that. And one that services the administrative side of the house. It's just a capacity issue, and we needed two. So the room phone, if you do actually still have a room phone plugged into your room, you can call, 800 credit card, local numbers on that. And that's on the student PBX, and the hall phone is actually on the administrative PBX. So we designed it that way, so if we had a failure of one or the other PBX, back in the days when people used to use voice, you could call public safety or dial 911 from your room phone, or if that was down and the PBX had catastrophically failed, you could walk out to the hall and call from the hall phone. So, you know, those hall phones are pretty important, so I would just ask that all the residents keep an eye out for people messing around with those hall phones, because it's, you know, it's just a waste of resources and time, and we really do put them there to keep you safe. Thanks, Earl.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's a real good information, Bob, because, you know, those forms are very important for students that need them, and that's why they're in place. So that information is good. Please stay tuned.
One, two, three, four!
someone, you could be my seed. You know that I'll throw.
Okay, welcome back to the Campus Police Social Hour. I'd like to say thank all of you for tuning in to the show today. We will have our next show, which is going to be in February. And I will do some postings around campus so you'll know exactly when the show is going to be and who are the special guests that will be joining us. And hopefully we can get some of the students out there to sit in and join us on the show as well. So again, thank you for tuning in and enjoy yourselves.